Lou Donaldson on alto sax takes the lead on his own composition, Blues Walk, with Herman Foster on piano, Peck Morrison on bass, Dave Bailey on drums, and Ray Barreto on congas. This is the title track from his 1958 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we're raising questions today, really. It's time, more than time that we raise. Well, we've raised these questions before, but it's become urgent that we insist on getting some kind of answer to these questions. Okay. I'm going to start off with Joe Biden. This presidential beauty contest that he has going on there, it's very annoying. It's actually very sexist, and it makes him look indecisive. I mean, if you're not prepared to say, well, so-and-so is, I'm happy to announce, is my vice presidential candidate. Every day it's speculation. It is, who is it going to be? Did he make a choice yet? I'm fed up with it. Make a choice, pick a running mate, and let's get on with the show. If you can't do that, see, this is the thing that gets me so irritable. We know that you have to choose a vice presidential candidate. Whoever is managing your public relations, as it were, shouldn't be coming before the public and making an announcement that we have no announcement to make. It makes you look stupid. Take your time, do whatever you have to do to arrive at a candidate that you like for vice president or whatever it is you've got to do. You do that behind closed doors. We don't need to know. But please stop this daily water torture of, no person named yet. After a while, you say, look, keep your information to yourself. I don't want to know at this point. I'm fed up with you. Make a choice. And if you're not going to make a choice, but you think you will have a choice by such and such a date, from the very beginning, say, we are prepared to make a decision by X date. All right, that's fine. But don't say, we'll make a decision soon. All this nebulous, vague information, and you're going nowhere, it seems, because nobody has been named, and it's a constant, is it going to be this one? Is it going to be that one? Do you have a choice yet? Frankly, as was said in that famous movie, Gone with the Wind, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. that's my feeling right now. It is irritating, and people don't understand sometimes, especially those in public life. They don't understand how important it is to be precise. Say what you mean what you say. Don't put the public through this. Well, do you have a choice yet? Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Oh, they had a secret meeting yesterday. This is the stuff children do. You're a grown man. You yourself have been vice president. But it is interesting as you make a choice about a woman vice president, suddenly you're indecisive and suddenly you're holding a beauty contest. You see the difference? You would never treat men that way. At least no man I know would put up with that crap. You want to offer me a position of vice president? Yes, I'm interested. Now, when are you making the announcement? Okay? Speak in certain terms. You give a date by which you will announce a candidate, then announce a candidate on that particular day. But you're waffling. You don't know yet. You're still looking. Ah! You look indecisive, and there's nothing more irritating than an indecisive leader. If from the beginning you didn't have a date, then you're okay, don't announce a date. But as you get closer to something that you think is the choice, you begin to firm up your decision and you make a definitive announcement on the date that you will announce the choice, your choice of vice president. But I wonder whether this is being done because it's women. I don't want to go that low and say, this is a sexist thing, but you can't deny it. You would never have a bunch of guys being considered for the post, and then you're dillying and dallying and being silly. You can't make up your mind. And it's a guessing game. You're a grown man, Joe Biden. And this is a very serious thing. The nation is really, really interested in who your vice presidential partner will be. But this has got to stop. I'm fed up with it. I don't want to hear any more about his vice presidential candidate for that matter. But I know I will have to talk about it because it is that important. It's just so irritating. I can't tell you how angering it is to constantly have to check on this every day. Is it today you're going to do it? Is it tomorrow? And then tomorrow comes, and is it the next day? Come on. You're a grown man, as I said. Make up your mind, make an announcement, and let's move. Let's move. But you're treating, and I hope you understand that, even if you don't accept it. You've got to understand that the way you've been handling this entire matter reeks of sexism and paternalism because they're all women. For such a serious matter, they should have been accorded, and this issue should have been accorded an entirely different treatment. This is not a beauty contest. It is not a pageant. You're deciding if you should capture the presidential spot. You're deciding, or you're hoping to decide, on who your partner will be as vice president. So wake up and change your behavior. You're being very silly about this whole thing. And again, I don't imagine that if the candidates were men, that you would adopt this Bob Barker beauty pageant mentality about it. Make your mind up. You've had enough time to do that. Or even if you want oh, you think you need some more time, then you shouldn't have given the impression that you're coming down to the wire any day now. And that you started predicting any day now months ago. So the only thing you are broadcasting to the public is you can't make up your mind. You're dilly-dallying all over the place. You may think, and the people who are advising you may think, oh, it's a nice little twist, isn't it? Yeah, it's a nice little twist. But I don't get the point of it, except that you can't make up your mind. And if you can't be resolute about this kind of decision, what are we to expect if you become president of the United States? I mean, whoever you choose is up to you. We'll deal with it. But for heaven's sake, make a damn decision. Because you're giving exactly the wrong impression. Suddenly, because the women are being considered, you're operating like you're holding a pageant, a beauty pageant. Every day. Is it going to be this one? Is it going to be that one? You're being pretty stupid about the whole thing. I'm not amused. I don't think it's cute. And I think somebody needs to take you into a quiet corner room and let you have it. Because we can't allow you to start off this way, this paternalistic, sexist way. If you indeed regarded these women as your equals, you wouldn't put them through this. This would be insulting. And the fact that they are putting up with it means that they too have gone down a peg or two in terms of their own dignity and self-respect. Simply because the prize is the vice presidency of the United States, I will never let a presidential candidate put me through this kind of crap, where I have to come before you and I have to please you. You get it? You get it? It's a really nauseating process at that level. It's a straightforward thing when you look at it. A person is interested in a position. It's like you want a great job that is available, and you apply for the job. It is to be expected that as a person expressing interest in a job, you do have to engage with your potential employer, and you do have to, you know, impress that employer with your skills, your expertise, your experience, and so forth. But that should be it. This long drawn out process that you get called in again and again, and then you have to, you know, do your pageant routine. Are you going to sing or are you going to dance? Or perhaps you'll recite a wonderful poem. I'm sick of Biden right now. And this is not a good thing to advertise that you in effect, you haven't moved out of the 1950s with how you see women, professional women, and even how you see just running things. This is a straightforward, cut and dried process. This is not that complicated. You may have a little challenge because you see person A and person B. Oh my gosh, I can't decide. Well, you're running for president. Decision making is going to be your everyday fare. If you can't make a decision now, you might as well pack it up. And the whole country is now in this macabre political pageant. What are you, Bert? What's the name of that guy who used to be Bert somebody or the other, who used to host the pageant? Is that your next gig? So, listen. In life, you have to take certain things seriously. They may seem trivial to you, but I can tell you, if I were among those people, those women being considered, I would shove it right back in your face and tell you goodbye. I don't want to work for you. You can't make up your mind. Well, I can, and I've made up my mind that I'm out of here. You are not going to, I'm not going to permit you to put me through this pageant and parade. And I'm very much aware that you would never treat men this way. Transition to the next one, the next topic, but this is a good time to pause and have you react immediately to the first topic, which I just finished. What do you think? Am I being ridiculous? Or is there a point being made here? And we can't afford to let these folks off the hook. You think if it's all men, seasoned people, experienced people being considered for the top job, you'll have this kind of pageant going on. And you will have the whole country involved in it, so that by extension, we are repeating the same insults being directed at these women. I wouldn't want to be a woman being considered, even though people would say, well, look, it's a big job. So what? It is a big job, which tells me that they're aware of it. They wouldn't call me unless it was a big job. They call me because it is a big job. And from the very beginning, there was a feeling that I'm up to the job. Well, then let's get on with the job and stop this nonsense. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's hear what you're thinking about this particular development. 888-874-4888. Am I making a big deal out of nothing? Or do you get the point I'm making? That he's starting off badly, and yet he hasn't even started. 888-874-4888. Okay, while you mull that question, let's talk about Mr. Trump, shall we? You can't tell me that it hasn't occurred to the people who are operating at the highest levels of politics in this country that last week did not give them pause. About what, you ask? About the fact that this is the man who is the leader of this country. And everything associated with him is not working. And yet no one would dare move out of the circle that has been drawn for them to be in the middle of. No one would dare take on the challenge of saying, we're in a bad position, and it is time to seriously weigh the question whether Donald Trump should continue to lead this country. Just look at the events of the last week or two. And you see an unraveling. A further unraveling of this president. Psychologically, his actions are illegal and brazen. He is becoming more and more comfortable with being a despot and a dictator. He is undermining what we loosely call democracy in this country. He is surrounded by a cabal of various shadowy people, and I'm being very kind here. And he keeps arrogating unto himself more and more power and control, and creating enormous chaos wherever he goes. It's chaos. I remind you that a group of psychiatrists and psychologists, this is after I first said it, I'm not taking credit. I'm just saying this is the sequence that happened. I had said from the time he came on, this isn't a good guy to have for president of the United States. He clearly is troubled, and I'm being kind. But we have seen no reason to continue being kind because he's off the charts. He has taken a huge lead for himself in the area of despot to be. He's running things. This is his private, personal country, and everybody in it, we're just tenants here. He's running a corrupt administration, more corrupt than we could ever imagine. His son-in-law and daughter, the senior advisors who have absolutely no experience, checking in with hundreds of millions of dollars of inside money that they make when they're supposed to have no such side endeavors going while they are employed. They're government employees working as supposedly advisors to the president. There's a lot wrong in this country. And now they're so brazen, they're shoving it in our faces, daring us to do anything about it. And it seems as if there's a kind of agreement that has been made or reached that both sides of the aisle have decided that they would give Donald Trump a free pass on any kind of inquiry or investigation that should be done with respect to the crisis of leadership in the White House. Everybody is involved in something dark and sinister. And to be truthful, highly questionable, certainly unethical. And the people who should be looking into these things seem to agree. Look, it's too late now to start anything new. Let's just let him finish his term, see what happens at the end of his term, and, you know, let's not cause problems so late in his first term. Let's not, you know, let's not put layers on top of the layers we have been avoiding from the beginning of his tenure as president of the United States. You know, as long as he doesn't frighten the horses, let's tone it down and see if we could muddle through at least his first term and pray that we get different results in the election, which means it's a policy of accommodation. And it might have started at the very beginning. We really don't know the extent of the larceny and the theft and the dishonesty and the corruption. It has never been probed. I'm talking about this administration, specifically with Trump at the middle of it. We don't know about that. And the point I'm making is, I think there has been an accommodation. Let's not disturb this hornet's nest. Let's see if we could make it through his first term at least, and we see what happens. If he gets elected, well, then we get more serious about looking into things a little bit more deeply. But certainly there's no indication that anybody was interested in putting this administration under the microscope. You would have a long line of people awaiting prosecution. For whatever reason, they gave him a pass. Him and many key operatives in his administration. The headache would be too big to manage, I think, the feeling is. So they give him a pass. But in the last couple of weeks, he has gone off the rails. Even allies of the United States are extremely worried about what they see. Not only him going off the rails and his administration in total chaos, but the inability of the people to do anything about it. We're simply sitting here marking time until the election of 2020, hoping and praying that the results would be such that he would be moved out of office. But that's not enough, you see. Look, I'm sure you've been reading about that tremendous explosion in the Middle East. The entire government is resigning in apology. We absolutely will not ever have such a thing here. No government, no head of government will be honorable enough to say, a lot of bad things happened on my watch, and to clear my name, even if I'm responsible, but to at least put on the record, this was not intentional on my part, but I am nonetheless responsible. And that's what they say in Lebanon. They're saying, we did not put these explosive materials in storage. We didn't cause the explosion. We didn't cause deaths. We didn't cause the shattering of buildings and people killing people in their homes and in the streets. We didn't cause that. We didn't plan that. But the fact that they want and will, as a government, resign means that they have come to understand and accept the fact that their negligence as a government was a major contributing factor, and they are to be held accountable. And certainly the demand by the people that they remove themselves from office so their actions are in line with that. We could never hope for that here. The people who are causing all of this calamity in our lives on a daily basis have absolutely no intention of recognizing their responsibility for the tragedies that they cause daily in our lives. Their incompetence, their thievery, their crookedness. They will disavow it until they go to their graves. They have no honor. They have no conscience. And in the case of Donald Trump, they are psychologically and mentally unfit. They should not have been allowed, even by their respective parties, to be in office, because it's an open secret. Donald Trump has lost his mind. But they floated the idea as a consolation prize. Well, you're a businessman. You have hotels and golf clubs and real estate. So you can't be crazy if you have all that. Why don't you try for president? Yeah, why don't you try that? Next thing you know, he is president. Spreading chaos, underperforming spectacularly. Him and his sons and his daughter and anybody else that he has dragged into this morass with him. And you say, my God. I never thought that it would turn out like this. Well, it has. And he has provided a generous feast for the excuse me, the gangsters and the thieves and the hoodlums, political hoodlums. They are all feasting at this generous table that he has set. Come, have your fill. Have your fill. Just support me. Make sure I'm okay. But if this past couple of weeks hasn't proven to us that we cannot have this, we just cannot have this. I've been saying this since he took office. This is not what we are supposed to have. And if it is found out that indeed this is what we have, we are duty bound to end it. this whole thing that he's doing now with the post office. I mean, such a sick, evil mind. By the way, I should mention, he was at the post office quite a while ago. One of his hotel properties, one of his magnificent hotel properties, is in Washington, D.C., right up the street from the White House. He got that postal center, some years back, converted it into a hotel. Very elegant, very this, very that. But we see how he had been looking at postal properties. And as I mentioned before, Barbara Feinstein, the senator from California, she started it, Democrat too. Looking to acquire these magnificent buildings, built after World War II. Well, anyway, so those are the two topics we'll talk about today. This pageant that Joe Biden continues to have to find a, quote, woman candidate for vice president, and annoying, I'm speaking for me, I'm annoyed to the utmost. I'm sick of him with this inability to make a decision and to treat the process and the candidates with some degree of dignity. If they were men, he would never engage in this kind of silly exercise. Secondly, we're talking about the fact that we have inescapable truths pertaining to the mental health. I prefer to put it and cast it in the affirmative of the President of the United States, who, even as he sinks deeper into his darkness and doing all kinds of things that are against the law, there's bipartisan support that he should be treated sympathetically, even as he destroys the country. I don't get it, but maybe you can explain it and make me, I'll understand. So we take this break, come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888 right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Yatrice Lead. The number, as I said before, is 888-874-4888. Two subjects on the table for your consideration today. We're talking about Donald Trump, and the last week should have given more than enough evidence to arrive at the conclusion that he must be removed from office even before his term officially ends. And we're also talking about, oh, my computer just said goodbye to me. Well, anyway, we're talking about Joe Biden and this ridiculous process, this pageant that he has been conducting. And in my view, undermining the dignity that this process should have by playing the old beauty pageant game. 888-874-4888. Jay, you start us off today. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and to your listening audienceship, number one.
Thank you.
I think Joe Biden is still waiting from approval from his handlers on which one he could pick between Harris and Rice and maybe some white woman to see if they're really that concerned about the black glass that's going to come from black women and black people if he decides not to pick Harris or Rice. Me, myself, to be perfectly honest with you, I could care less who he picked. It's not going to make that much of a difference. I mean, if you're going to look at it from a policy perspective, the person that you would probably have to look at is Rice. But to me, both of them are disasters, Rice and Harris. The bottom line is, it's who his handlers are going to allow him to pick. As far as Trump go, look, the American people are in a situation to where they're going to have to make a decision. Do they want the Trump disaster to continue, or they want it to end in 3 months? Me, myself, I'm at the point now to where the man is unfit. He's going to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And the media is not going to do the necessary things to put an end to this madness because of their influence over most of the majority of the people. So it's just going to go along as the business at hand. What is the business at hand for Trump? To make money. What is the business at hand for the media? To make money. What is the business at hand for people in this country? Figure it out. Because the way it seems right now, all we're basically being done is toyed with. It's unfortunately, we as a nation don't understand that we're being toyed with and played with by both parties. But, you know, as this thing continues to go down its disastrous path that we are facing as a people in this country, hopefully we'll figure it out. Because who's ever going to be in office come January 1st, things ain't going to get better. If anything, things are going to get worse because, unfortunately, Trump has no plan and Biden has no plan to deal with what's going on in the country right now. So I would just say, buckle up, figure out how you're going to survive this disastrous ride that we on, and just pray that you will survive and educate your children on how they should survive in the future, because this bad boy ain't getting no better. I'm sorry to say it, but I think we heading for what was worse than 1929 in the 1930s.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in and getting us started today. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. What are your thoughts about this dilemma that we continue to have? Here's an opportunity for Biden to signal a brand new day. Instead, he starts off by being racist, sexist, paternalistic, and in a way, creating a very interesting problem. I want to see how he tackles it because he had made it clear, remember we had talked about that he was looking for a black woman to be vice president. And we questioned the wisdom of that statement, apart from the legality of it, since it was an open and direct hit against fair employment practices that he says he upholds. So when you make a statement like that, a profound statement saying this is where you're going, I understand that he was after drumming up a non-traditional vote, but he was playing kind of fast and loose with the law. And you have to know how to do that. You have to know how to communicate an idea or a thought without raising anybody's hackles. And then we're talking also about Donald Trump and the clear evidence that he's deteriorating and moving farther and farther right. Arrogating to himself powers that the Constitution does not allow him to have, making decisions unilaterally, and operating pretty much as if the country is his personal property and he can do what he wants with it whenever he wants to. And we should all just allow him the latitude to do these things. No sign that it troubles anybody in Congress so far, that it would become an initiative, a formal initiative, to bring this to the fore and to investigate in what ways has this president essentially flouted the Constitution and the law. What are you thinking? 888-874-4888. We are at a very interesting juncture, historically speaking. And I find it troubling that we're so casual about the momentous leap we are about to take. We just seem to say, well, they'll figure it out. And when they figure it out, we'll figure it out. I don't get a sense that there is a deep concern about what has happened in the last few years in Trump's first term and possibly could happen in the next term if he is elected. We seem so casual about it. Is it because it is so overwhelming, so daunting, that we don't want to even consider the possibility? All we want to do is to live and keep our jobs and pay our bills. And the last thing we want to do is to complicate our lives by giving any credence to the fact that our country is out of whack, seriously out of whack. It seems to be moving more and more into the hands of people who have no respect for democracy. They don't intend to respect democracy. They don't even know what it is. What they do know is that Trump has opened the door of possibilities that did not exist for them before. They could get their hands on a lot of money. They could influence policies like they never have before. They can now globalize their efforts. And the people you think would have some degree of integrity, strong enough to keep those forces at bay, are the ones basically leading the charge. Get what you can, take as much as you can right now, and we can help you with that. Let's form a partnership, and we all make money, because that's the name of the game of this administration. We all make money. We pimp out this country and its assets and its resources, and we further our individual agendas. And we only have a short time in which to take everything. So we have to be serious. We have to be, if we're greedy, you have to be super greedy at this one. If you are unprincipled, you have to be super unprincipled. It's a matter of superlatives. In every way we look, these folks are not the least bit interested in the country and democracy. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice. You know, I've
Hello.
been thinking about this, and as I see it, the people have no choice. Both those candidates, the Republican, Democrat, they're not there for the people. But if Trump gets in, I think that what we're going to see, if this by chance happens, is that the neoliberal policies of turning every function over to private entities rather than government, that will be on steroids. So that is thing that the ruling class would love, because all the government functions would be diminished and everything would be put into private hands for private profit. And that's the name of the game. Private profit, and the people will get poorer and poorer and poorer, because neoliberalism is about doing that. It's about turning away from government in terms of functioning for the government and going for private profit. As far as the democracy is concerned, the ruling class have no interest in real democracy. That's a public relations stunt that they use to fool the people into thinking they have democracy when people don't have a democracy here. They have a plutocracy with a government run the rich and powerful. And but, you know, they control all the things that give people information. And so they say that enough. And just like Goebbels learned from Freud's nephew, you tell a lie long enough and that's it. So that's the way I see it. Most of the people, even some progressive people I know, when I talk to them, all they can say, well, I'm voting for Biden, you know, but you got two bad choices, and your choice to vote for Biden, and you know, no one has any other idea about what to do. So I know that I will not be voting for any Republican or Democrat, but the point is that people see that as a choice they're going to make, even though it's not going to save them, because Biden is evil too. He might be not as bad an evil as Trump. That may be so, but he's an evil. And I think that's the way most people are going to go. Some are going to go for him. But there's some people who will go for Trump, even though he has no interest in them. But, I mean, it's just amazing how the ruling class is so good at manipulating the brains of people against their own interests. And that's the kind of place we're living in here. And we're going to see, you know, more and more poverty, whichever one gets in. So people need to start educating themselves. They can't depend on corporate media to give them the news. It's mostly propaganda. And if they don't know how to read through the television set or the newspaper and decipher what's being said, they're in big trouble. So that's the way David from Brooklyn sees it.
Well, thank you. I happen to agree with what you just said. Thanks a lot for contributing today. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. You know, you can see things beginning to form. And this is when you have to pay particular attention, because they're building the rationale, the premise, the philosophy, all of this construction is going on at the same time. So that by the time the election ends and the new year begins in politics, we should know what to expect. We should know the attitudes coming out of Washington. We should know what to look for as internal contradictions, people who say they're Democrats, but they're functioning pretty much as arch conservatives. We should be able to tell from now what to expect from the new administration, whether it's Democratic or Republican. We should know what to expect because they're formulating their approach, their plan, their tactics. It's all coming together right now. So let's meet up again tomorrow and do some more talking. Thanks so much for contributing today. Bye-bye.